All right, so today we're talking about part six in Keys to Revival. And we've already looked at about seven or so keys. Anyway, I've got the keys up there and you'll see it in a moment. So today we're going to talk about, it's part six, but I think maybe the seventh key or eighth key, I can't remember. We'll see when we come to it. So far, just a very quick recap, like I've done every single week. Week one, we spoke about the definition for revival. Okay, week one, we spoke also about faith, so I introduced what revival is. When we're talking about revival, we're going to know what it is. Then we looked at one of the keys to revival in week one, and that's faith. In week two, we looked at prayer, and also what the Holy Spirit plays, the part the Holy Spirit plays in revival. So that's key number three, the Holy Spirit. Key number four was humility the third week, and key number five, we also spoke on that week about a contrite heart. And we spoke about the importance of humility, what it means. We looked at different definitions and also the importance of a contrite heart. Week four, we looked at setting your will. Okay, so one, two, three, four, five. The sixth key was setting your will. And last week, we looked at key number seven, which was calling and crying unto God. These are all keys. These are objects that when you use them, they give you access to other things. And so if we want revival, these are keys that we need to use, okay, to get access to revival. Keeping in mind that revival, okay, is a great part that the Holy Spirit plays overall in our lives. Okay, so we looked at calling and crying unto God last week. And key number eight now is worship. So I'm going to touch a little bit on this, not a full-fledged teaching, but I'm going to remind you of some things about worship, and I want to bring it to a central point. I just asked you a while ago what worship is or what worship means. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at the expressions of worship. We're going to look at when somebody is worshiping, what's happening deep down inside? What's the core or what's the purpose of worship? What's the essence of it? Where does it bring us? And we're going to see that this morning, and we're going to see that through different expressions. You'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. So let me just define it so that we're all on the same page, okay? I've got two definitions here. Number one, the attitude. Let me turn this toward myself. The attitude and acts of reverence shown to a deity. That's definition number one. The attitude and acts of reverence shown to a deity. So when you say, Lord, I worship you, well, you're coming with the right mindset. That's the first thing. Okay, so correct attitude, and you're coming with the right act, the right purpose, okay, of reverence as shown to a deity. And that's God, of course. Okay, we're coming to worship God, and so we come with the right attitude, we come with reverence, recognizing who God is. Okay, and you know, that's very important. And homage given to a Lord, whether human or divine. Now, the word homage, just so that you have clarity here, the word homage, because we're going to see this again, it means respect or reverence paid or rendered. Homage is respect or reverence paid or rendered. So when you say, Lord, I worship you, what you are doing is you are giving or you are paying respect, okay? Or you're rendering, if you like, reverence to the God as you worship him, and you're rendering respect also to the God that you're worshiping. And that's important, respect, because you cannot approach God anyhow. You cannot approach God with sin in your life. You cannot approach God with a wrong attitude. So the respect part has to be right for worship to be accepted. Everybody understand me so far? Good. Okay, this is nothing new, but I'm just reminding us. We should know this already. Okay, so let's move on. So, concepts of worship. Okay, the concept of worship. Now, this is very important, and this is what I was trying to alert to just now, a while ago. The concept of worship is found in the word serve. Come on, everybody say serve.
Serve.
The concept of worship, okay, is found in that one word, and that word is serve. So when I'm worshiping God, what am I doing? I'm serving him. Now, there are different forms, and you remember during COVID-19, I gave a teaching about worship, and I expressed the different forms of worship that we can do, because a lot of people, a lot of Christians thought worship was just singing, worship. I worship you, Lord. I worship singing slow songs. No, that's not the essence, and that's not the definition, and it certainly is not the core of worship. The core of worship is serving. And so when you come to church and you give this morning, well, I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, you are worshiping. You worship God in different forms. Let me just put it out there. Okay, so teachings, exhortations, singing, tithes. When you give your tithe, what are you doing? You're worshiping God. And what did I say earlier? When you're worshiping God, you've got to do it with the right mindset. You've got to show reverence and respect, homage. So if you're giving a tithe, you're giving an offering, you're giving a gift, or even if you're teaching or exhorting, but you're doing it with a bad attitude. You're doing it from a different perspective other than that which God requires of us, then it won't be accepted, it won't be blessed. We come, we lift up songs, we lift up our hands and we sing songs, but if you have anybody up in your heart, it's not going to be accepted. It's not true worship, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. So singing, tithes, prophesying, worship, forms of worship, reading, form of worship, breaking of bread, offerings, forms of worship, fellowship, thanksgiving, alms. Alms is giving to the poor. Forms of worship. When you give to the poor, it's a worship to God. And the Bible has so much to say about that. You're not just giving to the poor, but you are serving God. When you go and pick food up, like Nadia does, for an example, every single week, well, it's a form of worship. She goes, she picks it up, and she brings it to the hall here, and she serves. It's a form of worship. And God is looking down straight into the heart, and God says, yeah, that's my daughter. Well done. You're worshiping me. Yeah, you're doing it for the poor, but guess what? You are worshiping me. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. Laying on of hands, praying, dancing. The list continues. It continues. All right, so let's have a look at this then. So, let's have a look at this. The previous list I just showed you and I just read very briefly. I'm going to show it to you again. Don't worry. As a matter of fact, I'll put it up. But now let me read this first. All in this list are external expressions but have an internal emphasis. Hence the importance of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Alright, so there are the words. Again, you just saw them a while ago. All of these words, note them, look at them. Alright? They are all external expressions. Teaching, an external expression. Exhortations, an external expression. Singing, tithe, an external expression. Prophesying, reading, offerings, thanksgiving, alms, dancing, praying. All external forms or expressions, but have an internal emphasis. Hence the importance of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In other words, these are outward expressions, but it's got to be coming from a right place inward, inside. It's got to be coming from a right place. Because if it's not coming from a right place, then your worship won't be accepted by God. So that's very, very important. Let me show you John 4:24. And you know this by now. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean, in spirit and in truth? We'll look at that in a moment, but let's look at the word worship. I've got it underlined there. So, you know me already. I like to look these words up, and I don't look them up to... Look, I look up these words because I understand both Greek and Hebrew have different forms of expressions and meanings. And I want to get the fullness of what was the writer talking about when he wrote this down. And that's why I look them up. And the word here used is proskoneo. P-R-O-S-K-Y-N-E-O. Proskoneo. And it means to prostrate oneself as homage. There's that word again. Before God, to bow down, like Claude just said a while ago, a form of worship, to bow down or to kneel as an act of respect. I'll read that again. Proskeneo, which is the Greek word for worship mentioned in John 4:24, it means to prostrate oneself as homage. Remember what homage means? Reverence and respect. Okay, prostrate oneself as homage before God, respect before God. To bow down or to kneel as an act of respect. So that's what that word there means, okay? So the question then is, what does it mean in spirit and in truth? Okay? And that's what you've got on the screen. And again, you know this because I've taught this so many different times. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? You see, and that's why the Bible qualifies itself. It didn't say just to worship God, but it added that on, in spirit and in truth. And this is where now the internal meets the external. If the internal is right, then the external will be right and accepted to God as a sweet-smelling savor. All right, so in spirit and in truth, with the whole soul, mind, desires, feelings, emotions, in full harmony with attested truth, not in fallacies. Note this, not in fallacies, not in ceremonial rituals, not in meaningless acts. When you're worshiping God, you are doing it with everything that's inside of you with true and sincere and full meaning. You are expressing something not just from up here or from here, but from down here. You are expressing it to the God who sees and knows what's in here anyway. That's what you're doing. With the whole soul, mind, desires, feelings, emotions. In other words, with everything that is with you. This is when you're worshiping God, you ain't got time looking around and wondering who's looking and who's coming in the door and who's not here. And you haven't got time doing that because your focus is on Him and on Him alone. Church, are you with me today? Not in fallacies, going through the emotions, right? Not through ceremonial rituals, but this is what we do because this is what we do. That's ceremonial rituals. That's religiosity. All right? Not in meaningless acts. You're just doing it, but it just has no meaning behind it. No. We don't function like that. We worship God in spirit and in truth with everything that's coming from a right place within us. Let me show you Psalm 95. Let's go to the Old Testament now. Psalm 95 and verse 6. And you haven't got a lot. I'm almost finished. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Now, I've got the word worship there. I've given you one from the old, from the New Testament, proskuneo. This is from the Old Testament now. Okay, the word worship here is the word shakah. S-H-A-C-H-A-H. Shakah. And it means to prostrate oneself as homage before God, to bow down as an act of respect. So there we go again. It's the equivalent of proskuneo. Shakar and proskuneo, they mean the same thing. One is just in Greek, one is just in Hebrew. But they mean the same thing. To show homage, to bow down with out of respect, and to pay homage to your Lord, your God, who you're worshipping. Alright, so, as I've already alluded to, our behavior matters. You can't just come before God after you've been behaving in a ridiculous manner or in a sinful way and think that it's okay just to come and worship God like that. It's not. It's not. And that's why Paul said time and time again, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. Let me examine myself. Let a man examine himself, he was saying, to see whether or not there's anything there that is going to hinder my worship. Is there anything there that's going to block my blessing? Is there anything there that's going to prevent now God doing what He wants to do through me? Is there unforgiveness in my life? You know, is there bitterness there? Am I grumbling, moaning, complaining, backbiting, chatting about others? Well, is there anything there? My behavior matters. It matters how you live. It matters what you do. Because God sees it. And it matters to Him, so it should matter to you. Now, let's have a look at Psalm 50, verse 23. It says this, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So even there, we're seeing a condition. You want to see the salvation of God? You've got to order your conduct aright. Okay? And then I will accept, if I'm going backwards, and then I will accept the praise that you are giving to me. So I've got to make sure then, that the salvation of God, by the way, you know what that means already. You know, salvation, everything gained, nothing missing. Your protection, your provision, your anointing, your healing. The list goes on. Okay? your preservation, everything. That's what the word salvation is. Everything gained, nothing missing. What God has provided for you, you want to see that in your life, then you've got to make sure your conduct is a right conduct. Okay? You're going to make sure then that not only do you order your conduct, but before that, well, you've got to do that before you can glorify Him and praise Him, if you like, in spirit and in truth. You've got to make sure that's happening. John chapter 9 and verse 31 says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will." As a matter of fact, you know, this is my opinion, okay? That never even needed to be added on. "And does His will." Because if you're a true worshiper, you know what you're going to want to do? God's will. Isn't that right? It's intrinsic. It's intrinsic. If you're a worshiper of God... All right, let me leave that for a moment. If you're a worshiper of God, what's going to flow from that worship is you doing His will. Not your will, not what you want, but what He wants. Because you want to please Him. I mean, as His child, that's what you want to do anyway. But it's going to be, there's going to be a driving force within you because the Word of God is working in you. The Holy Spirit is there in you. And He will be propelling you and leading you along that direction to make sure that you are doing His will. Now, a lot of Christians are thrown off with this verse because it says, "And we know that God does not hear sinners." We're going to understand what that means. And I'm not going to do a theology thing on this now. What this verse is actually saying, there is no obligation for God to hear any prayer. Sometimes you hear people, sinners, and I've met them over the years, talking about, "I pray to God every day, I pray to God every day, I pray to God every day." But they have no relationship with them. Anybody met anybody like that? You know, they're talking about, they pray to God, "I pray to my Jesus every day." But they have no relationship with Him. They don't go to church, they don't serve Him, they're not interested in His kingdom, they don't know about His business. There's no intimacy there, there's none whatsoever. And the Bible here says, the Bible, not me, the Bible says, "We know that God does not hear sinners, okay? But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him." So if you want God to hear you, you've got to be a worshiper and you've got to do His will. That's who God hears. Now, let me say this. The God does hear the prayers of sinners, but it's a repentant prayer. It's a prayer that says, "Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please come into my life and make me a new person." Everything else is a fallacy. We saw that word earlier. Everything else is fake. There is no obligation for God to hear prayer someone on somebody who has no relationship with Him, except the sinner's prayer, and I'm going to add this to it, and also the mercy of God, because God through His mercy can save a person from a destructive situation that they're going through. God can do that, and God has done that. But it's not obligated to, because there's no relationship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's no relationship there. They're not in covenant with God, so there's no obligation for that to happen. And that's why the scripture says that. All right, I think I've spent enough time on that. I don't want to spend any more. I think you should understand that. Okay? So the only prayer that God is obligated to answer, and by the way, and we said this recently, where did we say? Was it Thursday gone? That His prayers are important, and so important that the book of Revelation tells us that they're held in a bowl. The prayers of the saints of God are not disappearing into the atmosphere. God just doesn't answer it and says, "Okay, that's it." No, for some reason, because God loves us so much and because the prayers of His saints are so important to Him, God has them. Your prayers that you've prayed through the years, God has them stored up. Don't ask me what He's going to do with it. But I'm telling you that He loves you. Can you say this out loud? God loves me.
God loves
and God loves me when I pray to Him.
God loves me when I pray to Him.
This is why I can't understand prayerless Christians. Christians, the flesh don't want to pray, but that doesn't mean that we should stop right there. We've got to push past the flesh. You've got to push past the flesh and pray. You've got to push past those things that are stopping you from fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters on a Thursday. I don't care what it is. I don't care how important you think it is. You ought to be with your brothers and sisters on a Thursday. Oh, but Pastor David, that wasn't well. Come to the prayer meeting. That's what it's about. And let people pray for you. Pastor, I've got this going on and I had to finish this. No, you see, what you're doing is you're rearranging your stuff. And what you're doing now is placing what God says somewhere down here. And so what you say somewhere up here. And that's got to change. And I don't expect to get a lot of amens there. But anyway, let me move on. Matthew 6:21. And this is the test, isn't it? The test is this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the question is, hang on a minute. What am I treasuring most? Because whatever is most valuable, that's another way of putting it. What do I value most? Whatever I value most in my life, that's where your heart's going to be. See, I've done this so many times. And Paul said, let a man examine himself. I quoted that earlier. And we've got to do that. We've got to pause and we've got to stop and we've got to reflect. Hang on a minute. Am I where God wants me to be? Or am I in error? Have I missed something? Just this week, I'm doing that as well with the Lord, this week, past week. And I do it frequently. This is a frequent thing with me. Because I want to make sure that I'm on the frequency of the Word of God. I want to make sure that I'm in God's will. I want to make sure that I'm in a place where I can hear from the Lord, irrespective of what's going on out there, and make sure that I'm here in a position where I'm able to receive from God to give to you. That's my job. That's my duty. But I've got to make sure that I'm right before God. What are my values? What do I value highly in my life? And each of us have to answer that question for themselves. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Your treasure is your wealth, your valuables, the place where good and precious things are kept. And it's not just it could be your family. It could be your job. It could be material things. Whatever it may be, you know, you've got to check yourself for where your treasure is. There, your heart will be also. So, okay, fine. So, let's look at this very quickly. I just put this up there because there is a difference between praise and worship. Praise is what God has done. Okay? Worship, who God is. So Lord, I praise you, I magnify you, Father. Thank you for what you have done, if you like. You know? But we worship and we come to him, Lord. We come to you, Father, based on who he is. And we worship him based on who he is. So it's more intimate. It's more in depth. It's flowing out of relationship. Praise is an outward expression. Worship is an inward all. Comes from deep down within. Praise is building a house, but worship is God moving in. And God is looking to move into some houses. He wants to dwell with us. That's why, again, I quoted that God inhabits the praises of his people. Because he loves when God's people praise him. But the Bible says, and we read it already in John 4:24, he's seeking, actively looking for worshipers. All right? Those who want God to move in. It's talking about intimacy. It's talking about a closeness. I wonder if I had some things that I came across, but I don't even know if I have it up there. It doesn't really matter. But that's just a brief thing about praise and worship. They're two different things, but both are important. And both, okay, we ought to give to God. We ought to give praise to God. And we do that. We did that this morning. We do it every Sunday. But we ought to also give worship to him. And we do that again every Sunday. We give worship to God. Okay? So, let's look at this one. God's advice to us. So, this is advice. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return. Now, you can't return to somewhere where you have not been. So, obviously, he's talking to people who maybe once knew God, all right, and forsook his way for the ways of the wicked, if you like that. That's what the writer puts it. Okay, but let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return, go back and make that turn again to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God is a good God, he's a merciful God, and the instructions from his word is quite clear. If you come to me, no matter what you've done, no matter what the mess is, I will, okay, abundantly pardon you. I will have mercy on you. In other words, then you won't get what you do deserve, because I am the righteous judge, and I am judging this matter, and I am saying in my court that you are free in Jesus' name. I will have mercy on him and abundantly pardon. All right. So let's look at Jeremiah 9:24. And then, oh, I didn't put it up there. It was something else. I might mention it in a moment. It was Jeremiah 9:24. It says this: but let him who glories, glory in this. Here's that word glory again. Let him glory in this. This is the instruction now for us. If you're going to glory about anything, if you're going to boast, that's what the word also means, by the way. To make shine, to make bright. If you're going to glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord executing loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. You remember, I flashed this up last week, I think, for the second time. This is the third time, I think. And I said to you that our business, if we're smart, is to find out what God delights in and get into that business. And what he's saying here, that he delights in what? Loving kindness. Acts of love. Not revenge and bitterness. Loving kindness to one another. Loving kindness, not just to those around us, but to people, your neighbors. Even the ones that give you trouble. What about that colleague at work that's been bothering you? And I won't drift off now, but I've been there and I know what it's like. I know what it's like when racist people face you and want to talk about you and tell you to go back home. I've had that said to me. And what did I do? I just showed loving kindness. And the same persons, the same people who meant you harm, turn around looking about your business and looking. And you just see favor coming from them. That's my experience. And that's your experience, I'm sure, too. And it can be your experience if you've not had that yet. Loving kindness. Get involved in that. God delights in loving kindness. Judgment. The finality about everything. God's judgment is the final judgment. Whatever God says, that is it. Because he's the righteous judge who judges righteously. How does God judge? He judges on the basis of his word. So whatever his word says, that is done. If God says that you are free, you are free. Amen. If God says that you're the head and not the tail, guess what? You're the head and not the tail. If God says that you're above and not beneath, guess what? You are above and not beneath. If God says that you are his righteous son, his righteous daughter, guess what? You are his righteous son, his righteous daughter. Whatever God says, that's the finality. And that's the beautiful thing about the God that we serve. He judges and he judges correctly. And he delights in making judgments, in regarding his people especially. And also righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is both imputed and positional. Okay, from the moment we got saved, God saw us no longer as unrighteous people, but righteous people. Amen. I said, from the moment you got saved, you became the righteousness of God. He doesn't view you as a sinner anymore. He views you as a saint. All right, so it's right standing, though, righteousness. It's right standing with God and with man. It's not right standing with God or man. It's not right standing with God, full stop. It's right standing with God and man. So you've got to make sure that you are standing right with God and with man, okay? Because that's what God is delighted in. That's what he delights in. So, another word, if you like, for worship, okay, is we said that the essence of worship is service, and self-service is an outward expression. But listen, It is also drawing near. So when you are worshiping God, you are drawing near. That's what you're doing. When you're lifting up your hands and doing it in spirit and in truth, you are drawing near to God. And what does the Bible say? If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. Do you see that? You want God to draw near to you, what have you got to do? Thank you. Because many a time we just say, well, you know what, just when God draws near to me, and then if I feel like God is pulling me, then I'll do it. You don't follow your feelings, you can't do that. You've got to will yourself. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to use now your will. I will bless the Lord. I will praise God. I will worship God. I will draw close to Him. You've got to will yourself to do that. And as you draw close to Him, He draws close to you. Let me show you this and then I'm finished. I think this is the last slide. And this is so important what I'm putting up there. Discipline encompasses duty. You cannot be successful as a Christian, in your Christian living, in anything, without certain disciplines being placed in your life. The whole Christian life is a lifestyle of discipline. Come on, everybody say discipline.
Discipline.
Now, discipline encompasses duty. What do I mean by that? Pastor Joy and myself were talking about this last night. Discipline encompasses duty. In other words, then, duty, if you write the word duty, discipline is in the middle of the word. Discipline surrounds duty. Duty is in the middle of discipline. So if you're going to be a dutiful person, you've got to be a disciplined person all round. All right, let me flash up the next bit, and maybe you'll understand a little bit more. Duty is carried out not because you want to do it, but because you ought to do it. So because I know that I ought to be in church, I'm going to discipline myself to go to bed early. Because if I don't go to bed early, I may not wake up in time. And if I don't wake up in time, I won't be getting ready in time. If I don't get ready in time, then I may not make it. All right. So that's just one example. If I'm going to discipline myself to be in church, if I'm going to be in church, I've got to discipline myself that when I wake up on a Sunday morning, everything is going to be organized. So I'm going to organize my time, wake up in time to do that. If I'm going to be a disciplined person in giving, then I've got to, if I'm going to carry out the duty of giving, then I've got to discipline myself to give. So I've got to maybe make a plan, maybe make arrangements, maybe do whatever I need to do so that if I'm going to buy for the food bank, then I'm going to organize myself on a Saturday so that I go out on a Saturday or the Friday before, Friday evening, go to the supermarket, get whatever I need to get. And you understand what I'm saying? These are the disciplines that you put into place to carry out the duty. The duty just doesn't happen. It happens because you have put into place the discipline that is necessary for that to happen. All right. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying, or am I on my own here? All right. Now, let me repeat. Duty is carried out not because you want to do it, but because you know you ought to do it. So when you know that you ought to do something, then you're going to discipline yourself to do what you need to do because you ought to do it. This is what God expects of me. This is what God requires of me. This is what God wants me to do. And if God wants me to do this, if God wants me to teach a Sunday club, then I am going to discipline myself to prepare my lessons so that I know that when I come to church on Sunday, I'm ready to do that and I'm ready to do what I ought to do. If I'm going to steward, like we've got these faithful women, faithful Sunday after Sunday, they're out and they come early and they set up. And they do it, not because they want to do it. And of course you do. I know you want to do it. I'm not saying you don't want to do it. But you do it because you ought to do it. Why? Because it's your responsibility. And you do it as unto the Lord. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah. You do it as unto the Lord. You don't do it as unto Pastor David or anybody else. I mean, you do it for us, but you do it as unto the Lord. That's the way it should be. In any sphere of our life, folks, no matter what it is, you know, no matter what you take, if you do it as unto God, and you do it because you ought to do it, and because you know you ought to do it, you've got to have disciplines. What is discipline? A set of standards and restrictions, if you like, that you place on yourself, okay, that keeps you on the road toward the goal that you want to achieve. That's what discipline is. So you set that up and you put it in your life. And you say, no, I'm going to have this in place in my life. Now, are there times when we don't have things in place in our life? Yes. Are there times when we may fail? Yes. But recognize, I failed this morning. I'm going to say this, and it's on tape. Joan Todd, who was not supposed to be here today, she is here. Why do you think she's here? Now, she said, she gave the reasons earlier. But I believe there's a bigger meaning behind that. She's here today because God knew that, you know, he wanted you to be here to lend me your flannel. You're laughing about. I look in my drawer this morning, and I always have at least two flannels in my case and at least one in the van. I took all of them out to wash, and I didn't replace them. And I knew that. I was 100%. I looked this morning in my drawers, and I said to myself, I need to find a red flannel to match my tie, to bring out. I looked, I didn't see no red flannel, so I was going to go and look somewhere else, and I got distracted, and I left the house without any flannel whatsoever. And then here comes Joan, that wasn't supposed to be in the meeting today, and she lent me her, yes, clean flannel. And the Lord knew that I was going to not bring a flannel today, and he knew that I was going to use tissue, and Joy said, no, I don't use tissue. So I said, right, I've got to be obedient to my wife. So Joy went and spoke to her, and Joan kindly lent me her flannel so that, you know, I can wipe my face with it. So she was doing her dutiful thing by being obedient, by being here and bringing a spare flannel that the Lord knew that I would need. Can I get an amen? I got more than one as well. Okay, so thank you, John. I really appreciate that. Now, that was maybe a poor example of what I'm talking about. Anyway, God sees everything and knows everything, folks, is what I'm saying. And sometimes God knows that you're going to mess up at points and places in life. Do you understand that? Man, do you understand that? You know, we all mess. There's nobody, I believe, all right, who has not messed up somewhere along the line, apart from Jesus Christ himself. And God, before you mess up, God knew you were going to mess up. So you've got to watch out for the voice of the enemy now that wants to come and block and stop your worship. Watch out for him, because he will come and he will condemn you. How could you go to church? That's the first thing. How could you go to church? Look what you did. Look what you said. How can you lift up your hands? How can you stand before them? How can you go and fellowship with them? Look what you did. Look what you said. And you know what? Church, if you have asked God for forgiveness, what does the Bible say? As far as the... Talk with me, preach with me. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our sins from us. So don't let the enemy come and want to bring back what God has already forgotten about. Because, by the way, he tells us that he's cast in the sea of forgetfulness. It's not to remember it anymore. So if God doesn't remember it, you shouldn't remember it. Don't let the enemy come and bring back your past. Because that's what happens sometimes in the life of Christians. And because your past comes in your face all the time, you're not able to move forward. And it brings that back to make you feel guilty, to make you feel worthless, to make you feel like nothing, to make you feel less valued, to make you feel not worthy. And that's what the accuser of the brethren does. And we looked at that in the past, even with Joshua the high priest. We see that. And we see that with Job, when Satan presented himself before Job. And we see what happened there. And look at Job and his life and what happened. He lost everything, but he didn't lose his integrity. He lost everything, but he didn't lose his God. And in the end, the Bible says that, I like Job 42 verse 10. The Bible says that in the end, God gave him twice as much as he had when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. So that's what we ought to be doing, praying for one another and upholding one another and loving and respecting one another, you know, so that the love of God that's in our hearts will continue to shine forth to those that are around us, whether it's in church, home, work, wherever we are, our community, where we live, or wherever we are. Don't let your duty be blocked, okay, and stopping your worship from going to God, but keep on focusing on and doing what is right in the name of Jesus. and God will elevate and promote us in Jesus' name. One last thing, and I'm finished. This is the last slide. You see this water bottle? It's got water in it, yeah? And the cap, I think I can tell it's not been opened. No water has gone from it, okay? But in order for me to benefit from that, and I'm thirsty, so I'm going to drink some in a minute. In order for me to benefit from that, the cap has to be removed. In order for you to benefit, okay, from the blessing of God, in order for your worship, for you to see the benefit of your worship that goes to God and then God blesses, like we just saw in that scripture verse, okay, when you do what is right, then God will do what he needs to do. When you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. We've got to remove the cap in our lives. Whatever is hindering that blessing from coming forth, we've got to remove it. We've got to take it off. We've got to open up. And sometimes that's what it means. We've got to open up ourselves. We've got to open up our lives and be vulnerable to God and to those around us. We've got to be vulnerable. Otherwise, we don't see the blessing. We don't see the benefit. We don't get the refreshing that we so desperately need. So may God help us. And there's a flip side to this as well, isn't there? If the water was empty, the bottle was empty, again, the blocking of the cap, no matter how much you pour water on it, nothing will go in. And God wants to pour his blessing and the refreshment inside of us. And so we've got to remove the cap so that the blessing can flow in, so that we can be filled. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your eyes that's ever looking toward us, Lord. The Word of God tells us that the eyes of the Lord scan throughout the whole earth, looking to and fro, and you are looking right into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever may be in our hearts, Lord, that displeases you will be shown to us, and that, Lord, we said it at the beginning of every service, in my life, in this year, in 2024, this year, you know, God is helping me to remove every hindrance so that I can be used by God effectively, efficiently, if I can add that, Lord, this year. And so, Father, we pray that every hindrance, Lord, everything that blocks us from giving out or from receiving from you will be removed. I pray that you'll teach us, Lord, to remove the cap. Let pride go away, Father, in the name of Jesus. And there are times, Lord, we just have to be vulnerable toward you, Lord. And we just have to open up ourselves and say, here I am, Lord. Yeah, it's a little messy, just like Joshua's garments and his turban was messy, Father. But you knew about it and you still stood by his side. You knew about it, his companions knew about it, but the companions were still there, Lord. And in the end, Father, you and the companions helped Joshua to take off the dirty garments and to put clean garments on. Father, I pray that you'll teach us in humility and in love to embrace one another and to help us, Lord. When one falls, another one will be there to help them rise up. A word of encouragement here, a word of exhortation there, a holding of the hand, a smile goes a long way, Father. And we pray that you will help us to be stewards of these gifts that you have given us, Lord, to uphold each other and to just to encourage one another on the journey that we're on, Lord, because we're all on this journey together. And some may be in different places, Lord, but we are going on together, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us, oh God, to be a good source of strength and encouragement to those around us, Lord. That, Father, you will just have your arms around us, Lord. Even at times when we may feel like we're alone, we're never alone, because you said you will never leave us or forsake us, Lord. And Father, we want to be true worshippers before you, Father. We are, we declare that we are true worshippers, Lord. That when we lift holy hands, when we bow the knee, that when we open our mouth and express, oh God, from our hearts our adoration and reverence and respect to you, Lord God, that you see and you know and you receive it, Lord, because it's coming from a right place. So, Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have reminded me to remind your people about worship this morning, Father. And help us, oh God, because we know that your word says you are seeking worshipers, Lord. And so, Father, help us, Lord, to be true worshipers, Lord, because, Lord, you are looking for us. You're seeking us, Lord. And so, Lord, we lift ourselves before you today. And we pray that you will be gracious to us, Lord. That, Father, we just want to thank you for your love and your tender care and your mercies, your understanding, Lord. You see and you know everything that we go through, Lord. Whether it's hidden or public, you know everything that we are going through. And, Father, thank you because you're a caring God. But this we say today, Lord, that we will be worshippers, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will give you adoration, Lord God, not from the roof of our mouths, but from the depths of our heart, Lord. We pour ourselves out before you, Father. Lord, we say today that we lift the cap off, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, whatever blockage there may be, whatever it may be inside that displeases you, Lord, we lift the cap this morning and we say, Lord, we empty ourselves of ourselves, Lord. And we pray that you pour into us afresh. Pour into us anew, Lord God. Revive us, O God, we pray. Cause us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord. Because the Bible says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so we pray that you'll fill us afresh. That your presence will go before us, go with us, Lord. That you'll help us to embrace one another, Lord God, in a meaningful way, in a truthful way, Lord. And that you will continue to have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we thank you that, Lord God, you have enabled us to carry out, Lord God, our duty. And we do it, Lord God, because we know that we ought to do it, Father. And we do it with everything that is within us, with joy, with gladness of heart. We do it, Lord God, in a happy state. We do it, Father, knowing that we are doing it unto you and extending in our little part that we play, extending your kingdom, Father, helping, oh God, to enlarge the borders of our tents. So we give you thanks today, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Can we stand on our feet, folks? And can we do that? Can we just pray? Can we just worship him for a few moments? We don't need music. We don't need anything. But what we do need is our voices. And what we do need is let it come from deep down within. Just do that. If you want to lift your hands, you lift your hands. If you want to walk about, walk about. If whatever you feel free to do, do it. But let's just worship him. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise today. Lord, we give you all the adoration because, Father, unto you it is due, Father. We worship you. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you have done and for what you are doing even now, for all the things that you are going to do, Lord God. We give you all the thanks, Lord. We give you all the adoration. We say that you are a great God. You are magnificent. You are mighty. And we bless you today, Father. We exalt you in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up your name and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. We worship you. We bow before you in our spirits, Lord. We bow before you because you are worthy, Lord God. There is none like you. We could search throughout eternity long and find that there is none like you, Lord God. We magnify you, Lord God, and we bless you today, and we praise you today in Jesus' name. We pray that chains now, Lord God, whatever is holding back my brothers and my sisters, Lord, will be lifted in Jesus' name. Every burden lifted, Lord. And oh God, that praise will resound. We pray that the caps of our lives will be open, oh God. Open to empty ourselves of ourselves, but open, oh God, to receive from you this morning. We lift, oh God, the caps of our life, Lord. And we say, here we are, Lord. We stand before you, giving you praise, giving you adoration. And Lord, come in your might. Fill us, we pray. Come, oh God, we pray. And fill us with your power. Fill us with your presence, Lord. Fill us, oh God, we pray. A fresh anointing, I pray this, oh God, over the lives of your people. A fresh anointing, oh God, so that we can go through this week. A fresh anointing, Father, so that we can be revived. A fresh anointing, so that we can be stirred, oh God. A fresh anointing, Lord God, so that we can be enthused, empowered, oh God, for the week ahead and for the months ahead should our lives tarry. Father, a fresh anointing, Father, so that the kingdom of God can be extended and extolled. We bless you today. And we give you all the praise and adoration in Jesus' name. Can we tell him that we love him a bit more? Come on, let's use our words. Come on, let's do that. Let's do that. Push past the flesh and just say, Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, we bless you. Yeah, yeah. Things may be going on in our life, Lord God, but that's not going to stop my worship this morning. I worship you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord. Lord, things may be going wrong, but Lord, I'm in your hands, so it is well in Jesus' name. It is well with my brothers and my sisters, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, Lord, we thank you because you are working everything out for my better and not for my worse. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.